Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Amos 5:14-15. Seek good and not evil. Hate evil and love the good. Amos 5:14-15. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of your bulletin today. Our purpose for being here is to study God's Word to advance spiritually. We are aware of the fact that we cannot advance spiritually as we should if our hearts are not in harmony with the Lord. And so therefore we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we're your children, saved by your grace. We're the recipients of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not because we're worthy of that gift of salvation, but because of your magnificent love for us. We know that the Scripture teaches us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so we're thankful today for the gift so magnificent, that gift of life eternal. We have the assurance that one day we shall leave this life, and when we do, because we've accepted the Lord Jesus, but most of all because he's accepted us, we'll be absent from this body, but we'll be at home with our Lord forever and ever. And this we do not deserve, and yet we express our thanks for the fact that we have that assurance. That assurance comes to us not based upon anything we've done, any energy of the flesh, any activities of our own human nature, but totally because of what you've done for us. And we're thankful for it. It's all because of your amazing grace. In these moments that we focus our minds upon the eternal truths of your word, help us to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you might fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. James 4, verse 4, you adulteresses, you do not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. James 4, verse 6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. On the screen now you see one word, and that is the word grace. This is a magnificent word. It is a word that we'll be analyzing in this session and in the session Wednesday night and again on next Sunday morning at the first session. On the screen, you see the one word grace, but you also see it in the Greek. The Greek is C-H-A-R-I-S. I would encourage you to look at that word, analyze it, so that you'll be able to recognize it in the future. It's a beautiful word. It's a word that needs to be in our vocabulary. It not only needs to be in our vocabulary from the English standpoint, but it needs to be understood from the true meaning from the original language. C-H-A-R-I-S. We've given four definitions for the word grace. I want to repeat those while you're looking at the word that's on the screen. What is grace? The free and unmerited favor of God shown toward us. The free and unmerited favor of God shown toward us. It's interesting to see those specific words. Free, unmerited favor of God. This is a gift that God has given to mankind. It's the most magnificent gift that you and I could ever receive. The gift of His matchless grace. The free and unmerited favor of God shown toward all of us. The second definition that I gave was the divine assistance and power given to us at the time of spiritual birth. The divine assistance and power given to us at the time of our spiritual birth and sanctification. Sanctification is an interesting word. We've analyzed it many times. Sanctification is a word which means to be set apart, separated. And God does that for us at the point of being born into His kingdom. Sanctification means that we are positionally sanctified. We're in the process of being experientially sanctified. And one day we shall be ultimately sanctified. That just simply means that at the time we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God works the miracle of regeneration. That's the time when we are the recipients of the imputed righteousness. We're not saved by anything we've done. We're saved totally by what God has done for us. It's a gift of God's grace. Salvation is a magnificent gift. So we call it positional sanctification. It simply means that we have been placed into God's family, members of the royal family, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Sometimes we say those words so rapidly that we miss what they really mean. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Not anything more wonderful than that, to know that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that's made a change, a drastic change, through the area of what is known as regeneration. Regeneration is the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, where God, the Holy Spirit, works in us and puts in us that gift of eternal life. It's eternal life because there's a difference between, terminology-wise, between everlasting life and eternal life. Let me take just a moment to explain what I mean. Every person, lost and saved, has life that's going to be going on forever. That's everlasting life. That simply means that if a person does not accept Jesus Christ as Savior, it doesn't mean that when they die they cease to exist. It means that they continue to live on in a place of eternal destruction. How sad, how tragic that is. So, everlasting life is life that everyone has, both saved and unsaved. Do you see it? Eternal life, though, is something different than that. Eternal life is what God gives to the person who believes, who's the recipient of regeneration. When that person accepts what God has done and believes, and when that person believes, God works the spirit of transformation in the life of the person that moves that person from being an unsaved person to a saved person. And also at that point gives that saved person the ability to be able to understand things that are spiritual. Unsaved person doesn't have that. Because 1 Corinthians tells us, Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers, the unsaved person is a natural person. He cannot comprehend or understand spiritual phenomena. The saved person can. That's the reason why it is desirous in God's mind, I believe, that every person not only be saved, but be perceptive to His plan, His purpose, and His will. And when we are perceptive to His will, then we advance. And when we advance as we should, we are appreciating the first magnificent gift of sanctification. And it is then that we are in the process of experiential sanctification, which simply means that we're advancing and growing. And then, of course, one day we shall leave this life. How long is it going to be before you leave this life? I do not know. I do know that your departure from this life is totally in the sovereign will of God. You're not going to miss that appointment. When it's time for you to go and for me to go, you're going to go. And when it's time for me to go, I'm going to go. I don't know when it'll be, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. When it's time for you and me to go, we're going to go, and it's going to be wonderful. It's the last increment of the magnificent dining room table experience for the believer. It's the dessert time. The greatest thing that can happen will be the dessert time, when you and I are the recipient of that wonderful, magnificent transportation that moves us from this life into His glorious presence, where we shall be forever and ever. And this is known as ultimate sanctification. I'm enjoying preaching this. Grace, number one, definition. The free and unmerited favor of God shown towards us. Number two, grace is the divine assistance and power given to us in spiritual rebirth and sanctification. You should have those 2 points down now. Number three, grace is the condition of being favored or set apart or sanctified by our Heavenly Father. I hope you can see how powerful that is. Grace is the condition of being favored, sanctified, set apart by our Heavenly Father. And number four, since I've already given you this in the first session, I don't want to spend too much more time here. Number four, grace is an unmerited gift and favor that does not involve any efforts on our part. Now we're going to leave what you have on the screen and go back to the verse. If you cannot see it from where you're sitting, please look on the back of your bulletin. The first word that is used in the Greek text is mazona, M-E-I-Z-O-N-A. A beautiful, magnificent word, mazona. Megos is the word great. Mazona, M-E-I-Z-O-N-A, is the word that's translated greater. And I've already presented to you various translations, and I'll not do all of those again. But the Amplified says, He gives us more and more grace. And then in parentheses, the Amplified says, it's the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. Let me see if I can explain. If you remember, up in the fifth verse it says, does the Scripture speak without purpose? Does the Scripture speak vainly? And this verse is in essence saying, no, of course not. And so the J.B. Phillips says, no, He gives us grace potent enough to meet this and every other evil spirit. Think about it, how that's said. The J.V. Phillips says, oh, the Scripture does not speak vainly. The Scripture does not speak without purpose. You put it down. Whatever the Bible says, it's important. He gives us grace potent enough to stand against such evil spirit. One other translation says, to stand against evil desires. We're living in an unusual day. We're living in a time when people don't understand, but they have a lust for the magnificent, and they consider the magnificent something that they can visibly see or hear. That's the reason why we have such an emphasis today in many churches on divine healers. The reason why we have an emphasis upon the subject of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. The reason for that is because people who do not have themselves saturated in God's truth are trying to find something that they can see with their eyes and hear with their ears. It's an emphasis upon that which is metaphorically touchable or hearable. You see what I'm trying to get over? I deal with this all the time. What they would not define it as lust, I would define it as lust, because there's a difference between lust on the one hand and desire on the other hand. And most of us think in terms of lust from an immoral standpoint, or from an emphasis upon lasciviousness or something that deals with the sexual aspects. Not so totally at all. Oftentimes lust is a desire that people have for something that will cause, quote, physical joy or emotional experience. And so oftentimes people are chasing from one church to another, trying to find something that will tickle their fancy. And their fancy is they want to see something. They want to see the manifestation of the Spirit, they say. I deal with this all the time. A sweet, precious lady yesterday came up and wanted to talk about this. And I sensed immediately what was happening. And I didn't want to be unkind. It was in relationship to a loved one or a friend who was physically ill. And sometimes when you try to explain things, it seems that they would conclude that you're cold-hearted, that you don't understand, that you're off on the wrong track. You just don't have an insight as I do. I'm always nervous when I get with people who leave me with the opinion that they've been closer to God than I could ever be. You see what I'm saying? Well, maybe they have. But when they lead me to believe that they have, that makes me wonder where they've been. You got that, Daryl, didn't you? Woo! And so anyway, what I did kindly about this particular loved one was to say, there's a great possibility, because God is in the business of healing. There's no other healing than divine healing. Do you understand that? There's no such thing as divine healers in our day. Heals, yes, but not divine healers. Speaking in tongues, all you have to do is really understand what the Bible teaches about the legitimate gift of tongues and the illegitimate gift of tongues. If you have a comprehension of the legitimate gift of tongues, you'll understand how God used the legitimate gift of tongues up until 70 A.D. when they were hissed off the stage. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. People don't understand that. People don't want to understand that. And if people don't want to understand that, they're not going to understand it, no matter how much you try kindly to teach them. The same thing is true in the area of healing. What's so beautiful is God is the divine healer. And God knows what's best for us. And God knows when to heal and when it's better for us to face that situation over a period of time. Oftentimes, and I'm here to tell you that some of the greatest testimonies that have ever been given of the salvation grace of Jesus Christ have been given in hospitals like MD Anderson, where people have been dying of cancer and they lived a testimonial life that was a witness to people that they would have never been a witness to if their bodies had been whole. What am I saying? I'm saying people oftentimes, and boy, I'm way off now, but I'm right on the subject. I want you to know that God is in charge, sovereignly in charge, of when you and I are going to die. And the circumstances about which we're going to die. The conditions of our death. He knows all about this. I don't know. You don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. You put it down. If you're going to trust anyone to take care of you, you better place your trust and confidence in the one who knows all the facts. We don't know all the facts. And no matter how much you love your medical doctor, that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. Your medical doctor doesn't know all the facts. I only got one amen out of that. Should have had a couple thousand. That'll make people believe on the internet we've got a couple thousand here. Not so. Do you realize what I'm saying? I want to ask you something. Is it really, really bad to die and go to heaven? Is it really bad? Well, why are you praying for people to stay alive when it may be God's plan to take them home? You see what I'm saying? Man, I've been around some of you folks, and I love your attitude toward people in the closing moments of their life. In the closing days and weeks and months of their lives. I've been around you. And I've been able to see the attitude that people have had. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It makes me just say, wow. I tell you, how would I feel under these same circumstances? And I'm able to see the trust and the confidence and the faith. And as someone said over and over again, this is no accident. God knows what He's doing. He's putting it all together. And He knows what's best. Why in the world do we lust and try to pray against what could be God's will for the person to die? And we are praying for them to live. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, there's nothing wrong with the desire for us to see them continue to live. Is that human? Sure. Is that normal? Sure. But let's come to the point when we say, Your will be done. Not my will, but Your will be done. And if you want my loved one to go on to be with You in glory, it's not going to be long, I'll be there too. And so let's just rejoice in the fact that He knows what He's doing and He's putting it all together. Where am I? I'm dealing with the subject of greater grace. Do you see it? Greater grace. Oh, I've got to get back to it. It's the first word, mazona. Oh, you ought to go out here today just saying mazona. People think you're crazy. You go to lunch, you get there, and people say, how you doing? Mazona. And they'll think you're crazy. That's all right. Greater, they say, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm talking about God's grace that's greater than anything I could ever tell you about. Do you know about His grace? Have you ever experienced His grace? Have you ever trusted Him for salvation? Oh, He will save you. He will work a miracle that will be lasting. All these, you're going to eat a meal, but it's not going to be lasting. You're going to do all these purchases, but it's not going to be lasting. But if you will be properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's lasting. That's grace. You see it? All right? But greater grace. Would y'all let me explain something to you? You see that second little word there in the original text? You didn't know I was going to tell you. But it's day. D-E, day. You say, oh, I surely appreciate you telling me that. What does that mean? But, B-U-T, but greater grace. Go back in the previous verse. Does God's word speak vainly? No, but greater grace He continues to give. God continues to give greater grace. Did I give you all 4 points? I think I did. He's continually giving us grace. All right, let's stop on the word gives. At the previous session, I told you we'd come back to this word. Didosin. D-I-D-O-S-I-N. Aren't you just thrilled that you're learning these Greek letters? I'm sure it's going to do you a lot of good. D-I-D-O-S-I-N. How do we interpret that? D-O-D-O-S-I-N, D-I-D-O-S-I-N, comes from D-I-D-O-M-I, didomi. Now, what's so great about that? What's great about it is, and I had to share it a little bit with this particular person yesterday. Joyce and I were standing there visiting with this one, and I wanted to just let her know, without being unkind, I have no desire to be ugly to individuals when I feel like they need to see beyond just a temporary time, this moment. This is not all there is. Oftentimes we just look at things momentarily. What's happening right now? What this experience is, without taking what the Scripture calls horizo, horizon, a long look. Believers need to be able to be taught in such a way that when they're dealing with various experiences, that they look at that experience and they momentarily are somewhat shocked about it, and then they lift their eyes, so to speak, and they take a long look. And they see this event in the light of the totality of God's plan. See the difference? If I don't do anything else in my ministry here, is that we, you and I, would be able to lift our eyes and take a long look. And we're doing it now as we're getting into the subject of understanding more completely God's grace. Let's take a longer look. Let's see the events and circumstances and the people around us and all of these things. Let's take a look at all this with the concept of a longer look. Oh, I know that you and I are so enamored with things, events, circumstances, our family, our children, our grandchildren. It's just normal for us to get so enamored with all these things. But if we're not careful, we won't be taking the long look. We'll become so saturated with the things of this earth, but the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Do you see it? In other words, your children mean a lot to you. Be aware of the fact that they need consistently the thinking, the mind of Jesus Christ. Don't allow things to keep your children from learning and advancing spiritually, no matter what it is. Not anything in this world, money, events, circumstances, nothing is more important than your children getting the mind of Jesus Christ. And they're getting it back there right now. They'll get it back there on Wednesday night. They're getting it, and they need to be taught in such a way that the parents need to take what they're learning here and continue it on a day-by-day basis so that these children will have a long look. Please don't cheat your children from having the long look. But I promise you, your children are not going to have the long look unless you and I have the long look, right? If you and I don't see the value of the study of God's Word on a consistent basis, we have made the most serious mistake in this world. The most serious mistake in this world. Wow. And right now I'm telling you, I could not be loving you more. I could not be loving you more. Sometimes you may think I'm a little ugly and a little mean. When I said a little while ago, those folks out there need to come in, get saved. If they're saved, they need to be taught, or they need to get out. And some of you may have thought that was rather ugly. No, it was the greatest kind words I've ever spoken. You see what I'm saying? Because they, if they're unsaved and not interested, they don't need to be distracting you or me from the teaching of God's Word. And I promise you that they were distracting me from the teaching of God's Word. Now, you may not have been bothered by it because you were sitting looking this way, but I was standing here looking that way. And all that confusion and knocking on the doors and trying to get in. You see what I'm saying? We don't need distractions. We need to help people, love people. And I need to tell you that my time is up. And I've said to myself, you be relaxed and teach as you go. And if it takes you 6 more months to do one word grace, just do it. Amen. Thank you. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you so much today for your grace. Grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and grace one day that will take us home. Help us to understand how powerful this subject is. And may we not be indifferent to it. May we be acceptant of it. And may we determine in our hearts to learn and advance spiritually. Help us to know that you're putting things together. And truly, there are no accidents. These things work together. So help us to appreciate it. And for those who hear this message who've never accepted you as Savior, may they do that even now. Because the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.